All right. We're glad to have Sister Clara join us here on the staff, and that's an extra blessing. I think that's the first time probably she's been up to sing for us, but I'll tell you what, it won't be the last. And we appreciate it very much. Well, we also have another treat tonight. We have Brother Ron Cole with us. Brother Cole has preached for us before. He works so close with Brother Scotty in the HEPS ministry and the office there and all over the mission field and everywhere with HEPS Ministries. Of course, he's come down today to be with Brother Scotty and Sister Barbara and the family. And so, of course, we're taking advantage to get him to preach for us. But continue to pray for HEPS Ministries. Most of us here in the church, we're very familiar. We work our mission conference with them every year here. And they have a tremendous responsibility moving the missionaries back and forth to the churches from the field and so forth. And Brother Cole is a big part of that. And of course, Brother Scotty is, and several others. And so we just want you to pray hard, because it'd be a big gap if Scotty had to go on to heaven now. There'd be a big gap. It'd be hard to fill. And I hope you're really praying about that. I don't know if Brother Cole is, I think last time he preached for us, I was probably gone. I don't know if he shared much of his testimony or anything, but I don't know a lot, but I know he did fly a helicopter in Vietnam, and I wish he'd brought it home with him. I got to go to Atlanta tomorrow. I'd like to go over the top of the traffic instead of through it, but can't do it. Amen. Brother Ron, come on and preach to us, amen. Please.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Well, amen. I did fly helicopters in the Army, but I got to say, preacher, it wasn't in Vietnam. I didn't discover America until 1971. I'd like to take that credit, but I can't take that. It's a privilege and an honor, sir, to be able to preach here, and so appreciate your ministry over the years and the stand that this church has taken. And the fact that you're seated here tonight means that you've stood and you stand where this church has stood all these years. And I'm from Calvary Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, and we stand the very same place that you stand. And it's our privilege to be with you. I do hate the circumstances that finds me here in the Haines City area, but nonetheless, it is a real privilege and joy to be with you. I've met many of you before, but for those of you who don't know me, I'm Ron Cole. I live in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Been working with HEPS Ministries now for over 15 years. My wife is actually at home tonight watching our grandson who's six, so our kids could go to church. We have two children, and our youngest is in the Marine Corps. He's 21. He's been in the Marine Corps for about 2.5 years now. And then our eldest is our daughter. She's 25. She's married to Josh, who's currently a state trooper in North Carolina. But praise God, about 4 months ago, he surrendered his life to the Lord and preparing for the ministry. They really believe that God has called them, preacher, to be an Army chaplain. So he is preparing to do that. When God saved me and I surrendered to the ministry, I wanted to be a missionary to the U.S. military. And that's really what I wanted to do, but God had other plans for me. But it looks like they're going to be able to do some of those dreams that I had. I have a heart for our military, our armed forces, and so you be in prayer for them. And we would ask you to pray for Brother Scotty. I was thinking there's some people you just can't replace, preacher. You just try to do the best you can in their absence. And Scotty's been in my corner. I don't know why, but he's been in my corner all these years. He's been a friend. He's family to me. He's not just been my boss. But he and I see eye to eye on most everything. It got to the point I'd call him when I didn't know how he was going to respond, but we've worked together so long, preacher, I just know what he's going to say. And I would just call just to make sure. But you pray. And I also pray we've got a team in Africa right now that's taken back a missionary that was sick, that was ill, and Lord willing, or thank the Lord, he is reunited with his family. And so you pray for them, and we've got missionaries in conference up in Georgia. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I preach a lot of missions conferences. In fact, most of my preaching is missions. And so you say, Brother Ron, do folks like to see you come? I'd like to think that they like to see me come, but truth be told, they like to see me leave better than that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, missions giving in my opinion, is some of the greatest giving that there is. Pure religion and undefiled, the Bible says, is to visit the fatherless and the widows. Why is this? Because when you do something for someone who can do nothing for you in return, well, that's true. When you give to someone that, and they can't give back, that's a blessing. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When you tithe to this church, and you ought to tithe to this church, that's your first priority. But in a sense, you're tithing to a church and you're giving your funds. It's going to pay for pews and carpet and lighting and air conditioning. It's going to put gas in buses that your teenagers are going to use. And so there's this sense that you're giving, and in some way, shape, or form, it's really you're kind of giving to yourself. You're giving to the Lord, but you're enjoying the benefits of it. But when you give to missions, you have no idea what happens. It's not like you're giving it so you can get something out of it. You're just giving it because you want to do it. And I believe there's a special blessing involved when we give above and beyond. And in our text tonight, we're going to see that there were some folks that gave above and beyond. Now, you've heard this. This is not new. I thought when Pastor asked me to preach, what in the world am I going to preach here that you have not heard before? Absolutely nothing. Number one, I'm preaching from an old book. Number two, I'm going to preach behind a person that's forgotten more about the Bible than I'll ever remember. And so it's nothing new, but I'll say this. This is not missions giving in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. If you study this text out, here's what you will find. That the church in Jerusalem, they became in a situation of poverty. Now, the church in Jerusalem was the first big church that was planted, and then later these other churches would be planted in Macedonia and Corinth. And so this church in Jerusalem, they're suffering. The saints there are suffering. And churches that were planted after that church were sending an offering and taking an offering to send back to this church in Jerusalem. Now, we would not consider that to be missions giving as we know it today. Now, what had happened is the Corinthians had promised, Paul visited them, and the Corinthians had promised that they were going to send an offering back to the poor saints in Jerusalem. But a year has transpired, and they haven't done what they said they were going to do. In the process of time, Paul would visit the Macedonian churches. These are the Bereans, the Thessalonians. You know these churches well. But the Thessalonian, these Macedonian churches were themselves also very, very poor. They heard about what the Corinthian church was going to do, and they said, hey, we want to get involved. And some of them would be escorting the folks that were going to be coming to collect the money. And so Paul's now writing back to the Corinthian church and saying, hey, a year ago, you said you were going to do something, and you've yet to do it. And I want you to be prepared. Now, had they done it, perhaps we wouldn't have this text. But it's just like God to use a failure on our part to give us, as the way it plays out, the greatest treatise on giving in all of Scripture. It's like the Magna Carta. And we want to look at just a few verses this evening. If you're able, will you stand with me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. If you're not able, by all means, keep your seat. Chapter 8 and verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, Brother Scotty is heavy on our hearts, and we will once again lift him up and ask you, God, to touch him. We pray, Father, that you would Give the doctors wisdom that the treatment would work. Lord, we pray you'd be with his family, Sister Barbara and Cindy, and Lord, Brother Dale being out of town, taking the missionary back for us, and all the family that they have. I can't name all of them, Lord, but you know, we ask you to be with them. But Lord, we pray you'd be with us tonight. Give us something from your word. Make it afresh and anew for us this evening. It's alive, and we know you can take this passage and speak to us. May you do it, and we'll praise you for it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We do you to wit. That's a fancy way of saying, you know what? There's something that you don't know that you ought to know. Of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And so the grace for giving. Do you realize to give, you need the grace of God to give the way that God wants you to give? You know why you need God's grace? Because it's not natural to be a giver. It's natural to be a taker. You don't have to teach your kids to take. You have to teach your kids to give. You have to teach your kids to share. We could go back in the nursery. Now, your grandkids is not that way. They're a whole lot better than your kids were. But your kids now is a different story. They're little rascals. You could have one of your children and even your grandchildren in the nursery, and they could be by themselves, and there could be 25 toys in the nursery, and they could be content and happily playing with one of those toys until another child walked in the room. And then there's this unwritten rule that when the other child walks in the room, not only is the toy that they're currently playing with theirs, but all of the other toys in the nursery are also theirs. And you've got to ask permission to play with any of them, because these toys, all of them, are mine. You can take your children to McDonald's. You could probably even do this to your teenagers. You could take your teenagers to McDonald's and buy them some French fries and set the French fries on the tray in front of them, and then walk away and have the audacity to go back and take one of the French fries off the tray that you just gave them. You know what they'll say? Hey, those are my French fries. Wait a minute. No. I bought the stinking French fries. Those are my French fries, and I gave them to you, and now you're acting like that they're your French fries. You didn't pay for them. You didn't go up there and get them. I can make it rain French fries on this table if I want to. Isn't that the way we are with the Lord? He's thrown this stuff in our lap, and it's as if it's ours, and we're doing him a favor if we throw him 10%, preacher, when he's given us all of it. And so we need God's grace to do what does not come natural. Isn't it amazing that God gives us this grace to do something? All we bring to the table is faith and trust. That's it. We bring faith to the table. We don't bring any talent or abilities or skill or eloquence or any power or strength. We don't bring wisdom or knowledge. We don't bring any new way or new fad. The only thing we do is we do what God told us to do. We express our faith in him. He gives us the grace to do it, and then he rewards us as if we've done something. Well, that's God. And so these churches in Macedonia had seen the grace of God bestowed upon them. I mean, God gave it to them. They were passive in this transaction. God just decided to give it to them, to throw this grace upon them. And this grace that we need for salvation, this grace is so important in the life of a Christian, but it's also important when it comes to our giving. So the initiation of giving, it is produced by the Savior. It's given to us by God himself. Now let's look on. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You know, I read this verse and it's perplexing. If you look at the ingredients, great trial of affliction, deep poverty. If you mix those two ingredients together, preheat the oven for 350, put it in there for 20 minutes, what would you expect to get out 20 minutes later? Well, I'll tell you what you're not going to expect to get: abundance of joy and riches unto their liberality. Wait a minute, there must be some other ingredient that was put into the mix before they put that thing in the oven. What was that secret ingredient? I told you already, the grace of God. You can take deep poverty. You can take a bad situation. You can take someone with no means to do anything for God, and you sprinkle in the grace of God into that recipe, and I'm telling you what, God will do something miraculous with it. For to their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. We don't have time to do justice to this text in the few short moments that we have tonight. But so many times I hear folks, and they talk about, man, I just want to give beyond my means. I want to give supernaturally. You know what, preacher? I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say I want to give supernaturally. Because you study the Bible out and you find out the times when people actually gave supernaturally. You know when that was? When they had nothing. When they got down to the very bottom of the barrel and there was nothing left but a handful of meal, a little bit of oil, and they were willing to take the little bit that they had left and give it to God first, believing that He would provide for them. I've never been to that point. I'm not even saying that I want to get to that point, but I'm telling you what, God is not going to rain money or anything down from heaven in your life when you have it within your power to give, and you won't give it that way. When you can give naturally and you won't give it naturally, do you suppose God is going to provide supernaturally? But these Christians, see, they did everything they could do, and then God kicked in. Look at the text. It says deep poverty. They weren't just in poverty, they were in deep poverty. Remember when Joseph fell he was put in a pit by his brethren, and it was a deep pit, and when you're in a deep pit, you know what it means? You can't get out. See, it's one thing to be in poverty. I know there are folks here, now I'm not saying there could be somebody in this room tonight, and you could be in deep poverty. But there are folks that I see a lot, and they're not in deep poverty. They're in poverty. But they're not deep. Here's why. Because anytime that they decide that they want to get out of the poverty that they're in, all they have to do is go to the place that has a help wanted sign and get a job and get some money, and they can get out of the poverty that they're in. But these folks had took a stand for Christ, and it cost them their job. It cost them their relationship, and they were cut off from society, and they had no hope of making any more money. So they were in this pit of poverty, and they could not get out. Now, would you give if you had no way of seeing on the horizon how you were going to get it back? And that's the circumstance that they gave. Yes. You see why you need the grace of God to give under those circumstances? Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty. Sometimes because we've heard this, we read this over and we miss some things that are there. Praying us with much entreaty. You say, Brother Ron, did Paul have to twist the arms of these Christians to give? No, quite the contrary. They had to twist his arm so that he would take what they were trying to give. I can imagine, and we're reading between the lines, so I'm speculating here, but I can imagine Paul telling them about the poor saints in Jerusalem and what the Corinthian church was going to do, and them saying, hey, we want to get involved, we want to give, and Paul saying, man, I'm going to be honest with you, you're about as bad shape as the people in Jerusalem. I mean, you don't have anything. You guys, God's not going to expect you to give under these circumstances. They're saying, no, but we want to give. See, the Bible says, praying us. What does pray mean? Hey, no, we're begging, we're pleading with much entreaty. You know what that means? Man, they went around and around and around and around until they convinced Paul that they could give.
Right.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
And this they did. Verse 5, this they did not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us. You know, you've heard this preached on before. Again, this is nothing new. Before they gave themselves first. You know, you can give above and beyond. You can give your tithes and you can give to missions and not have given yourself.
Right.
But if you've given yourself, you will give your tithes. And you will give to missions.
Right.
And you will give the special offerings if it's within your power to give. But notice something here. It says they gave unto us and unto the Lord. Look at the last part of verse 5. By the will of God. You mean to tell me it was God's will for people that were in a pit of poverty, that had lost their jobs and lost all hope of getting any more money into their economy? It was God's will for them to give and send relief to the poor saints in Jerusalem? Yes, that's what the Bible says. And I can only surmise one thing. If it's God's will for them to give in their situation, then I guarantee you this. It's God's will for me to give. And it's God's will for you to give. God wants you to give. You'll see from this text, you don't have to do it. But if you ask God, do you want me to? What do you think he'll say? See, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do we believe that? Do we believe that by the foolishness of preaching, God chose to save the world, to get this message around that's going to tell the world how they can be saved and escape the damnation of hell and gain access and entrance to this place called heaven? There's only one way that's going to happen. That's the preaching of the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? We know they're not going to hear without a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? They won't preach if they're not sent. So how then can they be saved? This is God's way of getting the job done. The Bible says that insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, in all diligence and in your love to us, I want to stop there for a moment because we could miss something here. Preacher, if you were interviewing someone for a staff position, you'd never met the person, and someone said, let me give you their qualifications. They are abundant in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence. And in their love. Faith means, you know what that meant? They just believe God. They trusted if God said it, I'm telling you what, they could rest on it and believe it. So they were abundant in faith and knowledge. They knew the scriptures. They knew what the word of God said in utterance. They were not only did they know it, but they could well speak to the effect of it and tell folks about it. They were abundant in utterance. They were well able to communicate what they knew. Not only that, in diligence. They were busy. They were workers. They were hard at it. I know sometimes we give this Corinthian church a hard time, and rightfully so. They had a lot of problems, but looking at this verse, they had some good qualities about them as well. And in their love, they were abundant in their love. This is the agape, God-given love. So here's someone that has a lot of faith, a lot of love. They're working hard. They believe God, and they can speak it, and they know it. You think, man, they're doing pretty good. But God said, see that ye abound in this grace also. You're missing something. That's great, but you're missing something. The grace of giving. If you went through your whole life and you stopped right there, it'd be wonderful. It'd be wonderful. But the Corinthian church needed grace, and they lacked it. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. My first missions conference I attended was in the church I was saved in Germany. And an American missionary, a good friend of ours, came and preached a missions conference every year. I'm not going to say his name, especially after what I'm fixing to say about him. Some of you may know him. He was a big bald-headed preacher. Somebody say amen right there. And we had been saved for about 6 months. And preacher, he hit that thing the first day of the meeting, and here's what he said. He said, and I'm going to try to say it like he said it, because if I say it nice, it won't hurt you near as bad as it hurt me. He said, if you don't give the missions, you don't love God. Yeah. I'm telling you what, ticked me off. Because I love God, but I wasn't given the missions. Well, as mad as I was, my wife was even madder than that. We come home that night, preacher, and we got saved about the same time. And she said, that's it. I ain't going back to hear him. He told me I said, you don't have to tell me what he told you. I know what he said. I heard it too. I was ticked off. She said, I ain't going back to hear him. I said, honey, let's just try. Let's just go back. I remember it was our first Faith Promise Missions Conference. They were telling us to husbands and wives, pray separately and fill out what you're going to give a week. And so she, you know, I talked her into it. She came back and at the end of the week, then on Sunday or the next Sunday, we're going to get together and kind of compare what we wrote down on the sheet and what she wrote down and what I wrote down. And preacher, I had $20 a week and I felt like this was from God. This was from heaven. And so I said, okay, I got $20 a week. What do you have? And she gave me hers, and she had $50 a week. I'm like, $50 a week? I said, 3-4 days ago, you was ready to kill the preacher, didn't even want to go back to church, and now you're going to bankrupt the whole family. What in the world? Now, I am not, please understand me, look at me. I'm not saying that if you don't give to missions, you don't love God. I'm not saying that. He said that. And I didn't tell you his name. The text doesn't say that. Let me tell you what it does say. To prove the sincerity of your love. You ever heard the saying, talk's cheap, but it takes money to ride the train? Can we really say we love God with all of our being if we're not involved with his grandest plan in all of the universe? I'll let you decide for yourself. Because he says, I speak not by commandment. You know what? You don't have to do it. Why would we do it? But every man has a purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know why God wants you to give? Because you want to.
Amen.
Because you want to. Don't give because I'm trying to manipulate you into doing something that God doesn't put on your heart to do. You give because God says, you know what? He's right. That preacher's right. He's from West Virginia, and he's still right.
Amen.
You know, when somebody says something funny, it's appropriate to laugh, but when somebody says something that's not funny, it really ain't Christian, you know, to laugh at him. Here's the motivation, verse 9, and we'll close here. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, who was poverty, might be rich. The motivation to give is not some missionary story, some picture. I mean, those will motivate you, those pictures will. But I'm telling you what, you need to get a better picture in your heart, etched on your mind. And that's the picture of the Son of God who gave up every right that he had. God himself so condescended and put himself inside of a molecule so small or a cell so small that the naked eye can't even see it. The God that formed the universe, the God that spoke it into existence. That same God gave it up. That God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, never had a place to lay his head that he could call his own. He never had a car. He never had, when he wanted to preach, he would borrow somebody's boat. When he needed to take a ride across the sea, he would borrow a boat. When he needed to pay his tithes or his taxes, his tribute, he would have to tell him to go, hey, snag a fish out of the sea. And when he needed to ride into town, he would borrow a donkey. When he needed to be buried, he would borrow a tomb. And when he died, he borrowed your cross. He would cry out while hanging there, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He would cry out while hanging there, I thirst, the God that made the waters, who made the firmament, who separated them, who would water the vegetation. That same God would hang on the cross and say, I thirst. You can read about it in Psalm 22. That's what he got. What did you get? Well, you got the next one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. Psalm 22, strong bulls of Bashan encompassed him about. He had those that would pierce him and surround him, and that's what he got. What did we get? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's what we got. He would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. There's no greater example as to why to give than Christ. You know, it'd be a shame. It'd be a shame not to reach that goal this year. I know it's within the power of this congregation, of this church, to do it. You've done it. I know you're going to do it. I just know you're going to do it. But here's the thing. You could be here tonight, and you're not in it.
Yeah.
You're not in it. Are you in it? I'll tell you what, I'm in it. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a missionary to come and preach on giving, and he himself doesn't give to missions.
Right.
I made I don't even know what to call it, but I said years ago, God, you're going to get more of my money than anybody else gets. If I pay more for my house payment than I give the Lord, God help me. If I pay more for my truck, and I'm telling you what, I'm from West Virginia. I mean, I like my truck, man. I like my four-wheel drive truck. I mean, I think if I showed up to heaven and there's like, all right, man, you can either have a mansion or a truck. I'm like, is it four-wheel drive? But wouldn't it be a shame to have had the opportunity to give to missions and not have done it? There won't be any mission conferences in heaven. Our chance to give. It's right now. Will you stand with me, please? I'm going to pray and turn the service over to the pastor. Father, thank you for the time. Lord, I pray that